The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It was 225 years ago today that the Constitutional Convention opened in Philadelphia and our founders began crafting an extraordinary document. Yes, it had its flaws. No women's signature graced the original document, although we can assume that there were founding mothers whispering smarter things in the ears of the founding fathers.
Pandora in chief.
I think that's, almost certain.
How sick that a failed president like this would attack the Constitution itself to a group of hysterical women at Barnyard College. Unbelievable to me. So it leads us to the first question. He speaks at Barnyard College. He goes on the fetid show, The View, which is astonishingly how bad it is. Astonishing to me how putrid it is. Like, I'll let it go at that because I don't want to be accused of misogyny because I am a woman and I love women. But I don't like communists. I hate socialists. I hate anti-Americans, and I hate anti-family people. So let's start with this. I have a question for you. The latest poll from CBS, of all places, shows that Obama has slipped with women. That's not a slip of the tongue. He slipped with women. He's falling with women. He's behind Obama, not only overall, but with women. Blacks are now turning on Obama. I have a question for you. Why have women and blacks turned on Obama? Here's CBS now. Constant Bolshevik stories. CBS. Their own polls show that he slips with women. And Romney is ahead. 46% backing Romney, 44% backing Obama. An 8-point switch from a month ago, from April. Now, how does this happen? Why? If you're a woman and you voted for Obama, why have you turned on him? If you're an African-American, well, that's absurd. I see that on so-called urban shows, that's a code word. Urban shows, you can't say what things are anymore. Urban shows. I mean, it's crazy, the words they come up with. But on urban shows, African-American callers are calling to slam Obama over the gay marriage support, as I predicted. You know, it's funny. There's a local website here that used to be attached to a local newspaper, but since there's no longer a local newspaper in San Francisco worth a dime, and they've been losing at least $1 million, I think, a week or a month, I don't know for how long, no one buys it anymore. They have some writers, and one of the guys, I actually like the guy, I'm sure he's a nice guy, probably comes from a decent Italian home at some point in his life, but he came out and tried to be wild and free. He became a left-wing fanatic. He writes a column where it says that even though Obama supported gay marriage, it's not going to affect him amongst African Americans. So I send him an email and I say, have you no brains in addition to having no shame? Don't you remember what happened when the gay marriage initiative was on the ballot here in California? That even African Americans voted against it. Chinese Americans voted against it. Mexican Americans, a good percentage of them, turned against them. So I said, how could you say a thing like this? Have you no brains in addition to no shame? No answer, of course, because they won't answer truth. Now I read urban radio caller slam Obama over gay marriage support. This is on a hip-hop radio station. And callers call up and say, no, I'm totally against that same-sex marriage, man. I'm 27. I grew up in the days where a female's supposed to marry a female. A male's supposed to marry a female. How does it affect you, says the host. Caller says, because you got the younger generation in today's society growing up. I mean, if you have a kid, would you want your kid, if he was a boy, marrying another guy or daughter marrying another girl? The emotions, the feelings, that's the caller. Then the host says to a woman, Jennifer, you will not vote for Obama because of what he said, Jennifer. Definitely not. host why. I don't know. I've never liked gay people, she says. Host says, Jennifer, do you know how disgusting that sounds? Jennifer says, let me rephrase that. I don't agree with what they're into. Then she says, I'm not going to vote for Obama because I feel like, well, he knew he was losing votes and he needed to get people's attention, and that's what he did. Why did he want to do this now when he knows Election Day is so close? So you think people are dumb, don't you? Don't think people are dumb. People can see right through this phony. And I think a lot of people turned on Obama because he's such a transparent individual, you know. So, I mean, don't call me on. There's nothing for me to call about. I actually, you want me to talk about this more? I don't want to. I gave you already the opinion, the opener. We got it. Let's start again with Wake Up Little Susie. I'll start the show again. And in 2 seconds, I'll talk about a piece of art from the Metropolitan Museum of Art that I found in a... In my hand on the Savage Nation is a picture I keep up at one of my studios. I have six studios in the United States of America, none abroad. I'm working on one on the moon, but I have not been able to get NASA's approval because Obama destroyed NASA. I keep a picture that I remember taking with a camera that I used to take actual pictures before they did digital. It's one of the greatest pieces of sculpture ever created. It's called Ugolino and His Sons. And it was sculpted by Jean-Baptiste Carpeaux, who lived between 1827 and 1875. It's in the Metropolitan Museum in New York. And it's based upon the Divine Comedy, where it's about the imprisonment and subsequent death of the paisan, Count Ugolino della Gherardesca. And his sons and grandsons. And it's a sculpture of the grandfather, the son, and the grandsons starving to death, with the son and the grandsons looking up at the great-grandfather, at the grandfather, who was supposed to be the great man who would always protect them. Jean-Baptiste Carpeaux, Ugolino and His Sons. And what this teaches me is that, well, there was a song by Jimmy Cliff called The Harder They Fall. How many cult leaders have you known of in your lifetime, or politicians, if you want to say that, cult leaders, politicians, whose children and grandchildren depended upon their hubris, their lies, their cheating, their stealing, who eventually wound up in prison with their sons and grandsons along with them? You know, think about that. Think about how many people who thought they were above the law who eventually wound up losing everything and taking their children and grandchildren with them. Let's move on. That went over again like a lead balloon. All right. That went over like a .38 caliber special in the air, right on the ground. Okay, so you're not interested in women, not interested in The Harder They Fall, not women interested in fine art. Okay, let's see what else we can do for your listening pleasure here on The Savage Nation. I don't know. Oh, how about the picture of Soros on my website? This is a great, great picture. If you're a fan of George Soros, the most evil man on earth in the minds of millions of people who know who he is and what he does and how he takes the billions of money, of dollars that he earns so honestly, and gives it only to radical leftists who hate America, even the Occupy movement. Here's a picture of Soros with his pot belly, and I'm sorry to tell you, in a tight pair of bathing suit, a young woman, a young lady, a young feminist, I don't know, some young woman. I don't know how young she is, but she looks a lot younger than him. He's 83. She's at least 50 years younger than him. And there he is with the whole world to see his fat gullet. The white hat looks like an ordinary chiseler from a buffet line in Boca Raton. Looks like an ordinary, you know, move from New York and votes in three places, but he isn't. He's worth billions of dollars. He's there in Florida at a secret fundraiser for Obama with other left-wing louts, closely guarded as a secret. And we got this picture, George Soros with the gut out, raising money. But here's the shocking part. It's a free country. You can raise money for Hitler if you want. For Hitler's grandson. He's allowed to do what he wants. But there's a secret Miami meeting of George Soros' liberal group with the gut out. I'm sorry to tell you, I mean, it's the shorts are tight enough where you have to focus on a part of him you didn't even know existed. But apparently, you go into the story, and you're not going to believe this, what I'm going to tell you. Attendees roam the grounds of the 150-acre tropical resort in Miami on their way to cocktail gatherings, dance lessons, and workshops such as Occupy the Voting Booth, and the 1% Rule. Now, why would a billionaire, Ganef like this, that's old German for a fine man, Ganef means fine man in old German, Why would a Ghanif like this support Occupy the Voting Booth and the 1% rule? Why would he support radicals in the gutter? Why would a Ghanif like this support vermin in the gutter who break into banks, break down walls, attack police officers, leave fecal matter, rape people in parks? Why would he support them? Why do these billionaire supporters of Obama support the vermin in the Occupy movements? I know the answer because I've told it to you, and it's in trickle-down tyranny, so don't call me on that. Instead, play The Harder They Fall by Jimmy Clift. I may make this a no-caller day, no free books, nothing. One, and I'm getting manicky. I can feel the manic clicking in. In fact, during the break, I'm going to have a coffee altogether. You see how high I can go. Come on, play. I used to love this song. This song is dedicated to all the cult leaders in America. All the cult leaders who lie to their followers.
And they think that they have got the battle won. I say forgive them, Lord. They know not what they've done.
When it comes to insane amounts of money, however, the Biltmore is hard to beat. Shiny black Maseratis. Piece of junk. Maserati's the worst car ever made. McLaren's, that's a great car, I own one. Jaguar's, piece of junk, fill the parking lots. Who would buy a Jaguar made in India? That's like buying curry made in Brooklyn. Exotic finches flutter about the lobby, and the hotel's luxury spa offers antioxidant foam wraps. You know how effective that is. And Moroccan oil scalp massages at a rate of $3 a minute. Inside the rooms where Soros is staying, which cost as much as $3,000 a night, guests are invited to enjoy $8 bottles of Evian. The accompanying advertisements in the rooms for private banks such as those in Switzerland. So why would billionaire hedge fund thieves, crooks of the lowest order who should be in prison, anyone in a hedge fund should be arrested, their assets seized and their children put in jail for having robbed America? Anyone in a hedge fund, anyone who runs a hedge fund is a crook, by definition. So why would these people, who are worth billions, go to a meeting and support occupiers? Anyone who could answer that question is not that smart. It's pretty easy. 1-800-449-8255. Zero, like a two-call job. What is going on? Where is everybody in this country? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know how many studios I have? I was going to tell you about this yesterday. I'm out of time. I already ran through the first stop set. When I come back on the Savage Nation, I will have a very special disclosure to make on the Savage Nation, which will include how many different studios I have and why. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Go back to Bobby Zimmerman. God, that's his name, Zimmerman. Is he related to the guy in Florida? I hope not. You may have to testify that he knew him as a young man and he was a good guy.
And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be.
Yeah, he was definitely a Pied Piper. Very talented man. Look where he is today. Looks like my grandmother Yetsi. Running around still, you know, he still has to sing. He blew through all his money. Could you imagine being 70 years old, still having to be hip and cool? How could they do that? When is Mick Jagger going to finally give it up already and become what he is? Why does he pretend he's cool? How can they do this? They had their run. They had a half a century of conniving the young, leading old. Talented, yes. Admirable in their talent, yes. But look what they did to the world. So, listen, I want to ask you something. I tried art, I tried poetry, I tried science, nothing went over. The only thing that works is Obama no good, Romney good. It's horrible, it's just awful. I can't do this. If you think I'm going to do politics for the rest of my life, you're insane. I'll do it, but how much can you take of this? All day long you hear it from Blubberhead in the morning, right till the nighttime. I mean, how much can you take of this anti-Obama rhetoric? Every ounce of it is true. But how much can you take? How much can you absorb till you faint from an overdose? It's like a sugar high. So I tried on. I said, Jean-Baptiste Carpeaux, Galeno and his sons. I gave you the metaphor. Nothing went over like a nothing. I don't know who listens to my show anymore. I'm starting to get mad. Now I'm going to get angry at my audience. I'm going to ask you a question to challenge you. Here's the challenge. Name the greatest piece of art you've ever seen that sticks in your mind. How's that? Let's do it that way. Please don't call me and tell me Time Magazine or something you saw in the, you know. What is the greatest piece of sculpture or painting that you've ever seen and why? That you carry around in your head like me. I'm trying to like raise the dialogue to some extent. It's like, okay, no, zero. All right, let's go back to the, there's Soros with the underwear with the young broad. You want to talk about that? No, we just haven't seen the picture. Can't talk about that. So what are we going to talk about? Nothing. Again, none. So here's the number of studios I own. Let's see. I have three in the county outside of San Francisco. 1, 2, 3. I have one in San Francisco. That's 4. I have one in Los Angeles. That's 5. I have one in Florida. That's 6. Now, why does Michael Savage have 6 such studios? The answer is because I move around. I tend not to sleep in the same place more than 2 nights in a row. That's because of reasons you can pretty much figure out. Secondly, I get bored very easily of the same environment, the same view. So if I move within the same environment or to another studio, it's as though I went to another place, like I went on a vacation. He keeps me fresh. How else do you think you do this for 18 years and stay fresh? You have to have a lot of studios. And secondly, there are things that happen. Yesterday we had technical failures in a studio. I had to run up to another one. Turns out there was water in the system down on the ground that got wet. The wires went out. That was number one. So I have to move sometimes in the middle of a show. Would you believe it? You just can't believe it. Philip. No, we'll come back to this. I can't believe this. Philip in New York on WOR. 30 seconds. Fire away.
Dr. Savage, the Mayan ruins and chained and still sticks in my mind how beautiful and crazy it was.
Okay, so there's a lot of questions. Aside from ruins, what about a piece of art? What do you remember from when you could see?
A lot. I used to go to the museums in New York City quite frequently.
No, I understand, but what are you? It's a tough thing to talk to you because there's no time left. Okay, thanks for the call. I was embarrassed. I don't know what to ask. A blind kid, how did that happen?
Savage.
Yeah, so you want to talk about Obama again? I mean, read my book. I wrote 80,000 words about the socialist in chief. What can I do? More talk about it? How much can I talk about it? You want to hear something weird? Really weird? I shouldn't even tell you this. Naturally, my book came out, you know, it was on the bestseller list for 3 weeks, did very well. Then they fall off a list. So they sell a certain amount a week, thousands a week, right? The weeks I am off the air, remember I was off for a vacation, then I was sick? The book sold more than the week I came back. How does that figure that a book would sell more when I'm not on the radio? So I never have to mention it again because you all know about it and you're all either going to buy it or not going to buy it. When you get the money, you'll go buy it, right? It's amazing, which means I'm liberated. All I want to do is dying words on the bed. Children come to the father. Father, what are the words you want to say to me? What do you want to say? 1-800-Flowers.com. What? What did Dad say? Blinds.com. What? What did he say? He's blind? SwissAmerica.com. I mean, this is all that's on my mind day and night is my ads. That's all I care about. So here we are in the Savage Nation. News is so boring, it's frightening. It's worse than watching glue dry. We know Obama is making one mistake after another. We can't figure it out for a man as acute as he allegedly is, with a machine as powerful as he has. Why does he double down on gay marriage when it cost him all these votes in the African-American community, across the spectrum of the independent white voter? Now women are turning on him. Why? I mean, what is he doing? So either the fix is in or he's not that smart. One or the other. I don't know. Something's wrong. Doesn't make sense. So that's why I brought up other topics. It's late in the day where you are. With me, it's still early yet. I have a whole night ahead of me to get through. I got the show to get through, which is the easiest part of my day. Then I faced the big emptiness of dinner, getting ready for bed, getting in bed, getting ready for bed, avoiding television, then watching television around 10 o'clock, deciding where to waste, burn my eyes out. As I watch television, I say to myself, this is what God gave you sight for? To watch. So I watch military history or something, there's a great series now on military history about World War I, but I can't watch. That was the beginning of the end of Western civilization, was World War I. Do you know that? It's why the Muslims are on the rise, why everyone thinks they can take down the West. Think of the millions of boys butchered in World War I, Germans against English, English against Germans, Americans against Germans. All of these brave young farm boys from New Zealand and Australia actually get sick watching it. Going off to war with that, you know, panache and courage. We're going to go to war. You know, they took out whole villages. Did you know about that in World War I? That originally entire districts of, was it from America? No, from England. An entire, for example, a whole soccer club or a football league would sign up to be in the same group in the war. And then one shell from a German battery would hit that shell and wipe out all the kids from one block or one district in England. So they wouldn't let entire football teams sign up together to serve in the same areas in war. This is how bad it was. Millions of them. Millions died in the war in World War I. When I watch it, I get sick. I look at them. They're like alive to me. Young, beautiful guys just like you, your son, your boyfriend, butchered for what? What'd they kill each other for? Does anyone know? Tell me what World War I was over. Nobody knows. It started by accident. Did you know that? I've studied that war in great detail. The Guns of August, I've read history, I've read popular fiction. Nobody knows what World War I was fought over. Nobody. There was no reason for it. World War II, we know what it was fought over. It was for freedom. If we didn't kill Hitler, we would be either a lampshade or a bar of soap. America wouldn't exist. It would be over. So that was there was a reason for World War II, but there was no reason for World War I. Millions of boys killed each other for nothing. So fat old white men, Kaiser Wilhelm, the megalomaniac, could have bigger statues made to himself. Psychopaths in England pitted boys for no reason. Even Churchill, who I'm a fan of, Churchill committed a monstrous mistake in World War I with Gallipoli. He killed, I don't know how many English boys died in Gallipoli. It was mainly New Zealanders, if I remember correctly. He sacrificed them against the Turks in Gallipoli for no reason. One of the greatest mistakes in war was the Gallipoli campaign, and they died for nothing. And Churchill was the one who ordered it, by the way. It's true he saved England in World War II, but boy, what a blunder that was. For nothing, shoot them into the machine guns. So I can't just watch that stuff without getting affected by it. So I don't know what to watch anymore. Animal Planet, then I get sick seeing the elephants slaughtered for the degenerate Chinese who want to use their tusks for potency. I there's nowhere to turn anymore. There's not even a pop. Then so you flip around, you come to Mob Wives. Can you believe this? They're reminding me like kids in high school in Queens. Yeah, I told us. You put your mouth up. I'll show you. I'm going to tell you. That's television today. The lowest of the low. The lowest of the Italian breed is on Mob's Wives. The lowest. The lowest you can imagine. Jersey Shore Mob Wives. People can't stop watching this. The lower it goes, the higher they... I never saw anything like this. The lowest of the Jews. Howard Stern winds up on a game show. How does this work that the stupider and more vulgar you are, the higher you go in the media? How does this connect up? I don't know. So I can't watch anything. So then I go to sleep. I listen, turn it off, and say, there's nothing to watch. Then there are a few shows. There's very little left. Everything's becoming worse. You turn on National Geographic. How good was National Geographic when you were a kid? Great magazine. A lot of kids were the pervs who became the doctors, certain kind of doctors, they used to look at it for the breasts because I never did it for that. I didn't find it attractive. A poor woman in Africa without a top on, it was not sexual. I even knew then that it wasn't a sexual thing. They walked around like that. What was it? But I read it for the anthropology as a kid. But all the guys who like looked at it to get off on the National Geographic when I was a kid, they became like obstetricians. They were sick in the head. Oh, man, I knew some sick kids who went into the doctoring profession. But the sickest, of course, became lawyers. There's no question about it. The most malicious, the ones who enjoyed hurting people, became lawyers. But then, except my lawyer is the only lawyer I like. So now you turn on that, Geo. Every show has the same theme. The world's coming to an end from a comet. There is no God. The world was wiped out many times with nothing but protons, neutrons, electrons, and Hersheytons. We're a combination of electrons and Hershey's chocolate. I can't understand this. What is this vendetta against God on National Geographic Channel? It used to be a magazine that was like family friendly. Now its entire mission is to prove that there is no God, the earth is an accident, and man is nothing more than a bug. I mean, you wake up in the morning, you figure if millennia of generations came and went, no one knows who they were, they live for no reason, why should you even get up? Why not commit suicide? Why should there be mass annihilation of the planet right now since there's no reason to live? What are you living for? Think about it. If there's no God and there's no reason to live, what are you living for? For your pleasure? How much pleasure can you get out of getting pleasure? How much pleasure is there in pleasure is what I want to ask you. Is there any amount of pleasure that's enough? How much pleasure can you have until you had enough pleasure and you don't want it anymore? It's like chocolate. What is in pleasure? What is pleasure? How much sex can you have till you don't want any more sex? How much sugar can you eat till you don't want any more sugar? How many possessions can you have, George Soros, until even you with your distorted... He's like the man in the yellow submarine, the Beatles cartoon. The nowhere man with the horn. George Soros is like the man on the hill with the horn that sucks up the world and eventually sucks so much into the horn that he sucks himself into his horn. You remember the yellow submarine? That was an incredible metaphor. We are all the yellow submarine. I never liked the Beatles. Turn it off. Never cared for them. Never cared for them at all. You know, it was a fad. The girls went hysterical. Today, look where they are. 99% of them are radical feminists. The Beatles lovers, if they're still living. Look what it did for them. Look at Bob. Play a Bob Dylan while we're getting the callers. They're calling already now. All right. I got them working up on the art thing. They stopped. Now they went to the... Again with that. Sounds like a broken harmonica. I tell you, I'm not into him anymore. He looks like my grandmother. Really, it's sad. He became very like an old Jewish woman as he got older, Zimmerman. Like the female. It happens to men, by the way. The older they get, I saw that in Fiji. It's not limited to a certain ethnicity. I'll never forget when I started going to the Fiji Islands collecting plants in 1969. Young, vibrant, young Michael collecting plants. So the leader of the village was very magnificent. I mean, the guy had ripped old clothing, but his head was that of a... If there was a sculptor around, he would have sculpted this guy. Melanesian meaning black to you. To me, Melanesian, because that's what the people are in Fiji. Melanesian man with one of the most noble heads you've ever seen. A sculptor would understand how noble he was. Now I come back to the village 20 years later, and in 20 years he became old. Like noticeably old. And he starts to look very much like a woman. And he's wearing like a shawl over his body. He's cold from sleeping in that hut. No central heating, no Hershey bars. Just all that good natural food. The guy aged before his time. And he looks like very female. Because men get older, they take on a lot of female traits. And look at the women on The View. Look what happens to women as they get old. They take on male traits. Take a look at what happens. It's just it's a biological imperative. It's what happens. Like as women get older, they cut their hair short. They look like their grandfather Bernard. And as men get older, they start to look like the chest. They have to spell it out. No matter how many push-ups you do. It's a lost cause. I once saw Johnny Weissmuller in the Concord Hotel when I was young. I'll never forget. It was sad. I mean, there's a guy in Tarzan swinging through the trees. Gorgeous guy. Now he is 20 years later. He's a lifeguard at the Concord Hotel in Kiamisha Lake, New York, puking in his tray in the morning from alcoholism. And if you see him with his shirt off at the pool, you would like turn away out of shame. He's like pecs are hanging down to his hips. Where was I when I got distracted? I forgot already. I went on a run. I went on a famous savage free associational run that nobody in the world has ever been able to do. Nobody can ever do. I would say I'm worthy of a Marconi Award, but there's no value in it. That's what the radio industry gives out to people who don't deserve it. Marconi didn't even invent the radio. Did you know that? So I declare right now that although the radio industry gives awards called the Marconi Award to alleged great broadcasters, there's no value in the award because Marconi didn't even invent the radio. You don't know this, but in 1960, the U.S. Supreme Court reheard the case, and Tesla was granted the honor of the recognition for having discovered the radio. Why? Because Marconi used five or six of Tesla's patents. So therefore, I'm going to establish something on this show right now. Michael Savage, as soon as he's through with all of his legal troubles, is going to donate a lot of money to the Tesla Award and give it out for greatness in broadcasting for people under the age of 30. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So there it is. Just came out now. Obama is worth as much as $10 million, but he's all for the small guy. Assets of $10 million, an account worth between $500,000 and $1 million in J.P. Morgan Chase, the mega bank that just made a bad $2 to $3 billion bet. That now you know why Jamie Dimon, Dimon, D-E-M-O-N, I don't know, Jamie Dimon. Is still walking around, and that's why the other one, what's the former governor of New Jersey? Everyone forgot him, Corzine. This is the Obama's the 1% blaming the 1% and taking money from the 1%. You hear that? Obama's the 111 formula. Remember Herman Cain? 999. He got it from a German woman when he tried to touch her. Tried to touch her at a campaign rally, and she said, Herman, 999. He said, what a good campaign cry that is. So here, we're going to call Obama the 111 man. He is the 1% blaming the 1% and taking money from the 1%. That's it. That's the whole story. So what do you want to talk about here? Let's go to the callers. I asked you what great art is that you remember, what's in your head. So go to, let's start east, go west. Mark, New York, WOR. Tell me the greatest piece of art you remember.
That was so funny. Van Gogh, Starry Night.
Unbelievable. One of the greatest paintings ever seen by the average man. It's incomprehensible that a human being could paint that.
No, I'm not. I got transferred up here with my company in 1987. I'd never been to New York City. I went to the Museum of Modern Art, and I saw it, and I was stunned at how small it was.
Yep. No, I'm saying it's incomprehensible that a human being could have painted that. That's how extraordinary it is.
The fact that he was insane, but he had this grasp of looking out into the universe, and that's all that painting is about.
I agree. I keep a copy of it in my studio because when I saw the... It was on loan here in San Francisco about 2 years ago. I was stunned by it, and I thought I had seen all of Van Gogh. And when I saw Starry Night, I was floored by it. I had never seen anything like it. I agree with you. That is one of the great paintings of all time. So, I mean, what do you draw? What conclusion can you draw from that, from a man? The extraordinary minds that exist every once in a while should be an inspiration to us. But in our society, somehow, the extraordinary minds are debased. And the debased minds are brought up to a level that... Could you believe that they would grant the Mark Twain Award to Ellen DeGeneres? Can you believe that? Like on deaf ear. All right. Talking to myself. Here's a woman who's not funny. Not funny at all. How does she get a Mark Twain Award? How did they take a name like Mark? That'd be like giving the Picasso Award to a kid who puts feces on a piece of paper. That's at least one man's opinion. Now let's go across the country. We go to Sacramento, the land of Jerry Brown, another man who identifies with the 1% and is worth allegedly $40 million. Let us go to Sacramento. Gino, welcome to the Savage Nation.
There's a statue of Henry Hudson in the Riverdale section of the Bronx, and it's not the most important statue in the world, but my mom pointed it out to me when I was 4 years old growing up in Riverdale, and she said if I ever told a lie to her, the statue would come alive, and he'd kidnap me up to the Catskill.
Oh, you had some mother. She created such a fear in you of Henry Hudson now. So can you go through the Henry Hudson Parkway or the Hudson Turnpike without getting a paranoid explosion?
I get the shakes.
Yeah, the Hudson River. You must be frightened just seeing the Hudson River.
Well, that's different. I like the Hudson River.
It's like Edgar Allan Poe. It's like Edgar Allan Poe's going to come to life, and Henry Hudson himself is going to rise up. She really said that to you? He's going to kidnap you?
And I'd be up with the Mohawk Indians and Rumpelstiltskin or Rip Van Winkle.
She had some imagination. Was your mother a kindergarten teacher or what?
No, but she grew up in the Midwest, and that's what they used to tell their children, not to tell lies or something real bad's going to happen.
Now, look at that. Well, if Obama had been raised that way, we'd have a different history. Maybe if his mother had told him that he turned into Henry Hudson, Rumpelstiltskin, if he lied, we wouldn't have what we have today in America. Can you imagine this man pandering to the 1% while he's worth $10 million?
Absolutely.
All right,
not.
What's the point? No books today, sorry. No one's getting trickle-down tyranny. No, put the bell away and put the buzzer away. No one's getting a free book. Watch the callers drop like a rock now. It's all anyone wants from me is a free book. They don't care about my humor, my intelligence, the wit and wisdom of Michael Savage. You know that Teddy leads me into the studio? This guy has gotten such a part of me. I don't know what I'm going to do when he dies. I'm frightened already. He's 7, so I can't take one more dog death. I don't have any more in me. I can't deal with it. I have my patterns. Now, they get your patterns down, dogs, don't they? Like, he knows I eat lunch at a certain time. Then I go into a bedroom and I lay down in a dark room for about 30 minutes. He already leads me to the bedroom, looks at the bed. I pick him up because he can't jump on it. It's too high. He lays down like he's going to do a show. I get up, I go to the bathroom, he goes to the bathroom. Then walks downstairs into the studio. He knows the next step is the studio to record ads. He knows that's what I never saw anything like it. How do they get your patterns? And they look at you and lead you. Then they die. It's awful. That's Nat Geo already. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Oh, my goodness. Who was it who wrote that when we die, we go to a place where we are treated the way we treated our animals? So if we treated our dogs well, they're the person and we're the dog, and they get to treat us the way we treated them. I like that idea. I think it was it the California writer, John Steinbeck, who wrote that? He was an animal lover. You remember Travels with Charlie, which he took by... Who can name the book that Travels with Charlie was taken from? Anyone who does that gets a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. In other words, Travels with Charlie by John Steinbeck was based upon an earlier book written in the century before by a famous American writer. Whoever can name the book upon which Travels with Charlie was ripped off from gets a free copy of Trickle Down Teddy.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Young folks who marched and mobilized and stood up and sat in from Seneca Falls to Selma to Stonewall didn't just do it for themselves, they did it for other people. That's how we achieved women's rights. That's how we achieved voting rights. That's how we achieved workers' rights. That's how we achieved gay rights. That's how we've made this union more perfect.
I rest my case. This is the Savage Nation. The more he digs his heels into the issues that are tangential to the American people, the lower his poll numbers. The even CBS News polls show women are moving away from him and are favoring Romney, which is very, very telling, by the way. Obama, it comes out, is worth at least $10 million. He is the 1%, blaming the 1% and taking money from the 1%. His campaign slogan ought to be 1-1-1. Herman Cain had a 999. He should be a 111. I am the 1%. I blame the 1%. And I take money from the 1%. What a royal liar this man is. But apparently even women are catching on to it. I say even. You can say that it's an insult. I didn't mean it as such. Somehow women were hoodwinked by him. That's all they were. They were hoodwinked by him. How any person could have been taken in by this phony, I'll never understand. How they didn't know it from the beginning. So that's why I don't want to talk about it anymore. You know, I mean, even Democrats don't like him. So what's the point? You hear it from morning till night, from the morning till the night, morning till the night, same thing, till you don't want to hear it anymore. You turn the show off. And then what options do you have? Are you going to turn across to another station, like if you're in New York and listen to the guy who sounds like Groucho Marx's grandmother screaming without a voice for radio? The only reason he's on is because Hannity needed a shill and Rush needed a fill-in. He wouldn't be on the radio, a fake lawyer, no family, no connections to any human being, just a screaming fake lawyer with a voice that sounds like Groucho Marx's grandmother getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia. Hates me, spends one-third of his show attacking me because he understands that he has no talent. I hear about this. I never listened to him. I heard the voice a few times. I got sick. I felt bad for him. I thought he should be admitted to a hospital, have a voice transplant. Doesn't sound like a man. Again, like a woman getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia in the 1800s. That's what they have on the other station in New York. To give you a hysterical, crazed on the air. Can you imagine? So where are we? That's why I changed the subject to art. Because I don't want to talk about politics right now. It's in my book. You read the book. You're not going to buy it. You are going to buy it. You're not going to buy it. I give up already. So I have a very intelligent audience. I have perhaps the most educated audience in talk radio history. Naturally, you want to believe that only the intelligent people only listen to Ellen DeGeneres. Oh, they go to Barnyard College. But they don't. Many of them are conservatives, and they vote, incidentally. So let's begin with the question that I raised. And we'll do it fast. We'll run through it. Make believe. I brought up a great piece of art for you, Ugolino and his sons. And I think it's probably, still in the Metropolitan Museum. This picture I have on my desk right here right now was taken maybe 30 years ago. Jean-Baptiste Carpeaux, 1827, 1875. I always do the math. I don't know about you. Every time I see like a person, I read like 45, died at 48. I don't like that. Because you see a guy this great, you figure, lived to 98 years old, you know, many families, you know, like Picasso. No, a drop dead job at 48. But look what he created in his lifetime, a piece of sculpture like this. Look it up on the internet. See if it's there, anyone. Ugolino and His Sons by Carpeaux. And you'll see what I'm talking about. And it comes from the Dante's Inferno, about the imprisonment and subsequent death of a count named Ugolino della Gherardesca. Gherardesca. Pardon me, I'm not up on my Italian. I can only say pasta. That's about as far as it goes. But Gherardesca apparently was a very famous count. He thought he had protexia. He thought no one could touch him. He was known by the emperor. You know, no one could touch him. But he apparently did something wrong, and he wound up in prison with his son and his grandsons. So to me, this symbolizes great art. You take a look at this piece of sculpture. It's in the Met, the Metropolitan Museum. I haven't been there in many years, but I carry the picture around. So like, what picture of great art do you carry in your own mind? That's what I asked you. 1-800. And name cult leaders in your lifetime who have fallen. Who are the cult leaders of our time? Obama's a cult leader, by the way, by all definition. He doesn't act even as a popular president would act. He acts more like a cult leader, like a Jim Jones. They actually believe what he says. They're that gullible. There are millions of people who still believe him. The intelligent people in America are starting to catch on by his actions, not by his words. They know he's a Pied Piper and a con man. Now, given that all politicians have to fib and tell untruths in order to, you know, hoodwink as many people as possible, that doesn't put him in a category of his own. But what does put him in a category by himself is the level of the cult-like status that he has brought upon himself with his con. His con is so good that millions of people still swoon when he speaks. Romney doesn't inspire that kind of cult-like following. You know that. He's a little too soft-spoken. See, that's the problem. But let's not go into criticizing Romney. He is what he is. You're never going to get more out of him. It's like trying to take I'm going to do this a nice way because it's going to stick. I have a terrible way with words. Romney is like a Buick that you want him to be like a Mercedes 600. He's only going to be a Buick. That's all you're getting out of him. A good, solid, stable, trustworthy car. But it's never going to be an S600, okay? You understand what I'm just saying? Romney is that. It's like a GM car, like his father. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, he's definitely that. If you like a good, stable, you know, factory built. Nothing fancy there, not in the knobs. Dashboard's synthetic, but it works. The seats go like two ways. That's it. There's no, maybe six ways today, but they still don't feel good. It's not like a German seat, like on the car. German seats go, conform to your body, but like if Romney were a car seat, it would be in two directions, forward and backward, up and down. That would be it. It's like the rhythm method. That's the most you're going to get out of him. So that, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not knocking it. It's better than having a guy that has no wheels on his car. If Obama were a car, he'd be a car that has no wheels. It would be all flashy, but there'd be no engine or wheels inside of it. It'd be sort of on a prop built up on a platform, and there'd be like a skirt built around the platform. And you assume you're inside a Ferrari, but it's only the shell of the Ferrari. There's no engine, no tires, and he never starts the engine. He just sits in it and waves. That's okay. It's you know, it's common stuff. That's all. I can, if you can walk with kings and never lose the common touch, then you'll be a man, my son. So I try to walk with kings, so to speak. Here's a President Obama speaking about Wall Street reform. Okay, listen to clip 10. You listen to this fake. Listen to clip 10.
This is why we raise capital requirements, so that when they do lose money, they've got enough money socked away that they can pay off those obligations.
All right, turn it on. The 1% blaming the 1%, taking money from the 1%. Catering to Jamie Dimon, who just lost $3 billion, doesn't know where it went. You hear? Maryland. No, we did it. We did New York. We did Sacramento. Now we go east again. Is there an East Coast? Here we go. Great Art, Connecticut. Marguerite, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael.
Yes, yeah, what's up?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was in Greece in 1969, and I was at the museum in Delphi. And there is a statue there called the Charioteer that was done about 400 B.C. It's about 8 feet tall, and I still have the postcard that I bought at the gift shop.
And who was the painter?
Oh, it's a piece of sculpture, and actually
I see.
Found it underwater.
Oh, it's an ancient Greek piece where we don't even know who the artist was.
And it is absolutely beautiful. I still have the postcard.
So a woman of your refined tastes listens to talk radio, and you listen to me. Why? I need you to tell the audience why.
Well, I'm a conservative. I think you're just wonderful.
Well, and there are other conservatives on at the same time. I mean, admittedly, they don't have a voice, and they're phonies. I mean, the guy's a lawyer and sounds like Groucho Marx's grandmother getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia. But so why do you choose me, though?
I used to listen to that phony lawyer. And the more I listen to you, the more I would rather listen to you.
But why, since you're an educated woman, why don't you listen to the phony lawyer?
Well, I grew up in New York, and I love your accent. What can I tell you?
That's it. Not my intellect, not my insights, just my accent.
I love your intellect.
Accent. Thank you for the compliment. Really appreciate it. That really made my day. So I asked the question, Travels with Charlie, right, by John Steinbeck. What was it copied from, the title? And the answer is Travels with a Donkey by Robert Louis Stevenson, 1879, pioneering classic of outdoor literature. Stevenson was in his late 20s and still dependent on his parents for support. In other words, he was an Obama voter. And in other words, if Nancy Pelosi was around, he'd get free medical care. Travels was both meant to raise money, he needed to be with the woman he loved, and to provide the adventure he craved, having been sickly much of his life. So this book by Robert Louis Stevenson, Travels, recounts Stevenson's 12-day, 120-mile solo hiking journey through the sparsely populated and impoverished areas of the Cevennes Mountains in south-central France in 1878. Travels with a Donkey. Then we go to Travels with Charlie by John Steinbeck. And in the novel The Pastures of Heaven, one of the characters regards Stevenson's Travels with a Donkey in the Cevennes as one of the single greatest works of English literature, and eventually names his infant son Robert Louis. Later on, Steinbeck and his wife, Eliane, were inspired by Stevenson in choosing the title Travels with Charlie. Just so you know, get a little back. No one even reads Steinbeck anymore. He was big in his day. But who reads? You read Canary Row anymore? You don't read Canary Row because there is no Canary Row. You don't read Canary Row. There is no Canary Row anymore. Canary Row went to Samoa. Nancy Pelosi's husband owns Cannery Row in Western Samoa. That's why the tuna canning industry gets all sorts of subsidies. Look into that one. Nothing wrong with that. I like my tuna fish. I mean, I like my tuna fish. I like my polka music. I like my sneakers. I like my dog. I like my pizza. I made a mistake last night. I didn't want to eat, so I ate a pizza. Joints hurt for 24 hours straight from the cheese. You see, I found that. I told you this. I'm allergic to dairy. I found that out years ago when I was hobbling around crippled. I didn't go to a quack, a rheumatologist. I knew what would know. So I practiced what I preached. I said, eliminate dairy. See what happens. Eliminate it over a four-week period. Never an ache again. I put it back in. Bingo. I'm limping again. The arches, the joints. But don't tell that to the medical establishment. Oh, but sure, that's just coincidental. Now, you take your arthritis medicine. Yeah, and you take your anti-cholesterol drug and take that Viagra and that Propecia and four other drugs, and you'll be just fine. That's right. Everything in moderation. Next. That's the allopathic medical practitioner for you. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but the fact of the matter is I could live pain-free the rest of my life if I just never eat another piece of dairy. And don't drink alcohol. It's horrible during allergy seasons. God, you know that, never to drink anything during allergy season. It's so bad right now where I live that if you drink any alcohol at all, it just suppresses your immune system. Even if it's a slight repression by a few percentage points, your allergies flare up. It's like a prison during the allergy season. I should be in Florida where and go surfing. Why am I even here? I'll be right back.
Savage.
You know, once in a while I go to music. So there's a great place in Sausalito that plays Latin music, California. Came out of nowhere. They have some of the best, you know, modern Cuban bands and Latin bands, astounding music. So, you know, once in a while I go over there. I love the music. I always did. I grew up on it. But then one Monday night I went in there because I was like just wanted to have a – they have good Italian food in there. The guy's Italian who owns it. And they have bluegrass. So I ordered a meal. I got sick listening to bluegrass. So all the guys looked like they had like scraggly beards. They were old like commie hippies. It's like Peter, Paul, and Mary, Saul Alinsky. I don't understand. What is the thing about bluegrass music and communists and leftists and socialists and Obama voters? Why? Why do they gravitate to that horrible guitar music? Don't think I don't like the guitar. I mean, I do like the slack key in Hawaii. The slack key guitar music is stupendous. I appreciate great music. But what's with bluegrass and that kind of guitar? About 10 guys on the stage, it was so noisy. I couldn't even focus on the pasta in front of me. I had to leave with the food there. I just took the food home in a container and ate it in silence. Is there anyone out there who plays bluegrass music or listens to me? What is it, the word grass in it? That's why leftists, because it says grass, somehow it's left wing? I don't understand that part of it. Anyway, a little side note, we're talking about art. We got stuck on it. Caregiver, let go for not liking Obama, Bob Dylan, Art the Thinker, Art the Statue of David, Art Travels with a Donkey, fell in love with Picasso, School of Athens by Raphael. Okay, Miami. Jonathan in Miami, you're up next on the Savage Nation. Jonathan, what's on your mind?
Hey, Doc. The favorite art is School of Athens by Raphael.
Now, are you in Miami proper, or are you listening to me up in another part of Florida?
No, I'm in South Florida, yeah.
You're allowed to be in South Florida with a refined cultural taste? How is that possible? So, you mean the painting is the School of Athens by Raphael, right?
Yeah. It's in the
And Jonathan, where did you see it?
On the internet.
Okay, I'm going to change subjects. Are you a Floridian by birth?
No. I was born in Venezuela.
I'm sorry, where?
Venezuela.
So what brings you to listen to me, a right-wing maniac?
I was raised just like what you talk about in your book.
Oh, yeah, right. Now, there's anyone who loves their country and likes to keep what they earned and not give it to the bums and the communists is an evil right-wing maniac, huh, Jonathan? Yeah, a lot of people from your country fled when that criminal bum took over your country. The whole middle class fled because he stole all their money. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Show it to everybody you know from Argentina. What's the chance of him going to heaven?
Savage.
Here's the thing. Nobody really cares about what's going on in Greece. I know we're supposed to get excited. Greece is going to leave the EU. France and Germany are joining together. No one really knows what it's going to, what effect that's going to have. I mean, we're sure there's going to be effect on world markets, but you know you have no control over Greece and what it does. You have no control over your own country. How could you have any control over Greece? Little country threatens big impact, says this website, I don't even know, FT. So what is going to happen? If the Greeks leave the EU, what's going to happen? You know guys on Wall Street who support Obama are going to get richer. And you know you're going to get poorer. That's all you know. It's going to affect you somehow, and you're going to lose money, and they're going to make money. The banks will make more money. Soros will make more money. And you'll make less money. That's all you know. So what can you do about it? Nothing. The whole future of the European Union depends on the actions of this one little country, said Carsten Schneider, Bundestag budget spokesman of the opposition Social Democrats. As far as Germany was concerned, the costs of a Greek exit are far too high. Unto itself, that's a joke, a Greek exit. I mean, that could be used in a play. What, he take a Greek exit? I mean, that's a funny line. You have to understand the innuendo, but he took a Greek exit. That could be written into a novel. This could be a laugh line for Jack Hatfield in my next novel. What, he take a Greek exit? It's very funny. I'm laughing to myself. I'm thinking of lines all the time for the novel. I'm working on it. The new enemy of is not the Islamo-fascist this time. It's a new one. I've got too many books, too much all in once. Books, records, video, blogs, podcasts, graphics, slideshows, picture slideshows. How much can one man do? I'm cleaning out houses. I have so much paperwork, so many. I find stories and books and novels I've written that I forgot I wrote in manuscript when people could still use handwriting. I wrote everything by hand. Beautiful penmanship. Because I was brought up anal. That's what they would say, the hippies now. Like, oh, your mother was anal? Yeah, she taught me how to write and to be responsible for myself. Yeah, I was very anal. Oh, man, that's very bad, very impressive. Yeah, go raise a child on some drug. Child can't even add without a calculator. I still try to add like things in my head. My father taught me, you know, you never know, learn. So I can carry large groups of numbers in my mind without having to go to a, you know. Zimmerman medical report shows broken nose, lacerations after Trayvon Martin shooting. Same time we read, the FBI may charge him with a hate crime. Unbelievable. Unbelievable how the government's on the wrong side of everything. And how come Al Sharpton hasn't been arrested for inciting a riot? Why would he go down to Florida after this without knowing anything about it? It turns out that Zimmerman did have a broken nose and many lacerations after Trayvon Martin almost killed him by beating his head into the ground. Why is Sharpton not charged with inciting a riot? Answer. Because his, you know, okay, I have to say that. He took a Greek exit. No, I have to say not a Greek exit. There's nothing to do with that. Race war is going on in America now because Obama said if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin. He never apologized for that. He should have apologized. I had it wrong. I was wrong about that, too. Everything I say is wrong. What's those Facebook and an IPO? All these kids are, like, looking for things. And they're buying Ferraris. I see them. I was in the Ferrari showroom. And I didn't tell you the story about the crash, did I? I meant to tell you now for 2 days straight and forgot about it. Let me tell you about the Ferrari crash here in California. Tuesday, a guy took a Ferrari on a demo ride, went off the road into the San Francisco Bay and with a new Ferrari California, and it wound up in the bay. So I said, what? I heard it from a highway patrolman. I said, how'd that happen? So I go to the Ferrari dealer, and I say to my friend, Mark, how did it happen? So he says, well, here's what happened. There was a group of them came in, like young guys, who are like Facebook, I don't know, one of them. They're all looking at Ferraris now, like their first, you know, hot car, which is cool. And they took it on a test ride. So a salesman takes the guy out. They go, if you don't, you know the area, so I'll spell it out for you. The Ferrari dealer is right off the highway, right near the bay, okay, near Strawberry Point. So they go out of the dealership. They go under the Highway 101. They go around. They make a right turn. They go on Strawberry Drive. And as they're turning on this drive, this gorgeous drive, the view of San Francisco comes up off the bay, and it's really stunning. The driver apparently got distracted by the view of San Francisco and looked and said, wow, that's gorgeous, and went straight off the road onto the beach and into the water, totaling the Ferrari, $250,000 on his insurance. But there's more to the story. More to the story is this, that you haven't read in the paper and don't even know about. More to the story is that the beach that he drove over, there were people on it because it was a heat wave here. There was crowded with people. He could have killed 8 people. He went right through a mass of people and didn't hit anybody. A highway patrolman said that this could have been a mass homicide story. Would you believe this? So I said, well, did your dealership eat this? He said, no. He said, according to California insurance laws, and this is very interesting, it's a very, very intelligent law, if you're test driving a car and you cause damage, the driver's insurance has to pay for it. You say, wow, how'd that happen? The answer is because the insurance industry was being ripped off so badly by thieves, mainly immigrant groups who were running this racket. I think there were Eastern Europeans came over here. They were running fake accidents. That they went at the time before Jerry Brown was governor when he had no power at all, and they passed a sensible law that protected insurance companies. And they wrote it so that if you're taking a test ride, you wreck a car, you damage it, you pay for it. So that way they couldn't run a fake accident. That makes sense. Incredibly intelligent law. So his insurance company paid the $250,000 insurance. The car is totaled. So I said to him, tell me more about the story. He said, you want to hear more about the story? Yes. Okay. The guy's wife had said to him, you're not driving that Ferrari today. You're not going out in it. You're not capable of driving that car. He said, oh, I'm crazy. Next thing he's in the bay and water up to his legs. in a Ferrari, California. So the wife was right. This guy drove it in the water. There's more to the story that I can't say because right away you'll say I'm a racist. I can't say any more about the story. But there is more to the story, and it ties into a stereotype. Okay, but I can't say a word. I can't say one more word. You just have. It was a nightclub. It would be a joke. Okay, but I can't. Let it go. Stops right there. How do you like that, driving a Ferrari in the bay? Milk that one. Salt water. You can't recover that car. Completely ruined. Broke a wheel off. Broke the undercarriage and saturated with salt water and mud. That's like a perfect car for a guy on Queens Boulevard in New York. He says, oh, no mileage at all. He sprays it all with water, puts on like a Chevy tire, gives it a schmear job, and sells it for like, oh, the car's perfect. Driven by one owner driver. Okay, for California car. Yeah, no salt at all. Guy drives it away, breaks down on Queens Boulevard, like 4 miles. There's that shady guys in the auto business. All of them are Democrats. They all give money to Obama. I know a guy on Queens Boulevard when I was young. He always used to sell British cars. It was all like the poor kids used to go there to like look at ogle the Jaguars. They used Jaguars, Land Rovers. They all wanted to be British till they learned that the British were all failures at the time. They thought, oh, if you could be British, you know what I mean? You'd get all the women and you'd get rich. So they bought suits in Brooks Brothers. They affected an accent. They got a pipe. And their dream was to drive a Jaguar or a Land Rover. Little did they know they were buying the worst garbage on earth. So this guy who owned this dealership, I won't mention his name, he was a real garment center type. But he wore natty suits. He actually looked just like Soros, now that I think about it. He had the same exact persona. Small, diminutive, very Eastern European, wore like nice suits, spoke quietly. Not like the auto salesman today, where you touch a hand, you can't wash it off no matter what you use. You ever notice that? Like, there's a certain ethnic group that wears a lot of male cologne in the auto. And when you go, you cannot get their cologne off your hand for 2 or 3 days. It defies logic how you cannot wash this male cologne off your hand. It's horrible. It's like you have to sleep with your hand in a baggie at night or you get an allergic attack. So you got to be careful, even if you touch a door handle. I can name the ethnic group, but I won't because, I mean, they're nice guys. They all fled Khomeini, but they're all in the auto business. Why they have a thing with perfume? I don't understand it. I don't like men with perfume to begin with. But anyway, so this guy had a dealership on Queens Boulevard that specialized in Jaguars and Land Rovers. I'll never forget it. I bought a Land Rover from him. As God is my witness, you'll never believe this. I don't remember the year, but it was before Land Rover became like a different kind of car. It was still like a rugged Outback car when I bought it. So I bought the car, and I at the time, you know, I remember the year now exactly, 1973. Right. Yeah, 73 or 75. I remember it distinctly because I flew into New York, stayed in my mother's house, God rest her soul, And I had to go to Harvard University for that winter because I was doing a book on trees, and I had to study at the Botanical Museum at Harvard, okay? So I had a house rented in Marblehead, one of the most beautiful towns on earth, best pizza in the world, Greeks owned the pizza place. I remember certain things. Sun was on the sled in the snow. Marblehead, bought beautiful antiques there when I had little money, but I bought. So I buy the Land Rover from this crook. I didn't know he was a crook because my friend had worked for him for a while. The guy now, I still like this, SD, used to work for this guy. I forget his name. SD had the Jaguar I damaged. Remember that story, the famous story about the Jaguar wrecked on Queens Boulevard from behind by an Iraqi? Remember that story? True story. I'm sitting there, and before I could put it in first gear, this guy, an Iraqi, smashes and breaks the back off the Jaguar. True story. So the same guy introduced me to this deal. Years later, I buy the Land Rover. Come by there, get in the Land Rover, give him the money, da-da-da, drive away. The car breaks down in the Bronx River Parkway with my child in it and my wife, and I can't get to I have to leave the car on the side of the road, go to the train station with a crying child, get to Massachusetts and call like a tow truck who tows the car, the Land Rover, to Massachusetts and has to replace the transmission. So I don't trust English cars. And every Jaguar I ever owned was beautiful, but they don't rot, like nothing. Horrible automobile. I had an XK150, got stuck in first gear on First Avenue and like 72nd Street. I had to leave it there. I couldn't get it out of first gear. What terrible cars they made. Good looking, but they didn't go. Like the Democrat, like Obama, in other words. Same exact thing. I'll be right back.
Savage.
This is really sickening. Here we have the U.S. so-called Justice Department, which will not prosecute crimes of a certain race, saying that they may use hate crimes charges against Zimmerman in the Trayvon Martin murder. And it comes out today that a photograph was released which shows Zimmerman's mother in the arms of her grandfather, who was black. How in the world can our Justice Department chief not understand the hypocrisy and insanity of this? In other words, he has black ancestry. How in the world? And the guy has damage to his head. Guy has damage to his head, and he's lacerated because Trayvon Martin was beating him up. I'm not saying Trayvon Martin deserved to die, but what would you do? What would you if you were being knocked to the ground and having your head slammed against the sidewalk, and you tell the guy to stop and he won't stop? Would you shoot the gun, or would you call the ACLU? Would you dial 911, or you to defend your life? So this is a crazy, terrible tragedy, yes, but there's so much more to the story than the vermin in the media are telling you that I have to tell it to you. That's all. I mean, the real hate crime is Al Sharpton going down there and stirring up the masses against white people. That's the real hate crime. There are many other hate crimes being committed, in my opinion. But we live in a world that's upside down. It's Alice in Wonderland. When you read that what's her name? What's her name? DeGeneres? Ellen DeGeneres gets the Mark Twain Award for humor. Is she actually funny? Is she on the level of Mark Twain? Of course not. The world is upside down. They give Marconi awards to people who have no talent on the radio. And Marconi didn't even invent the radio, to show you how backwards the radio industry is. They don't even know that Marconi didn't invent the radio. The credit for it has been given to Tesla as far back as 1960. The world's crazed. Thank God there are people like me who straighten it out a couple hours a day. Otherwise, you'd be crazy altogether. What else is in the news? It's not about news. I can't just do news. News, news, news. You want news? You go to websites. That's all. Unless you get the news. Don't read the news. Who is the newspaper for news anymore? Newspaper. Prop paper. Agitprop paper. Hey, everybody, read the agitprop paper on the corner. Agitprop here. Get your agitprop here. Can't sell it. Let's give it away. Agitprop here. Agitprop here. There, everywhere. Imagine how low this guy is. Howard Stern, the guy with the... say who's the highest level of Jewish person. Coming to mind would be like... You would say Bernie Madoff would be at the bottom. Next to Bernie Madoff, maybe below him, is Howard Stern. For the degenerate, sick mind and mouth. So how in the world does this world work? I don't quite understand how this... But this is true for any race. I mean, it's like you say Italians, so you look at great art. See? Great art, Da Vinci. Great art, great inventions, Da Vinci. Then you go down the scale and you come to Jersey Shore or Mob Wives. You understand what I'm saying? So we're living in the end of times where the worst of everybody is on the top of the heap. Am I just an embittered man for observing? Am I allowed to observe it without being seen as embittered? I'm not embittered. I'm astounded. It's different than being embittered. I'm doing well. I don't need anything. What, I need another pair of sneakers? What, I need more sneakers? What do I need? I need another boat, another car. I don't need anything. I eat too much, drink too much, mild brioche. That's the fun. Remember that ad? That was a funny ad. I never took brioche. I don't like those. Any Italian name like medicines I don't trust. I just joke. Come on. Can't you take a joke? Can't you take a joke about anything? Merkel and Holland. I don't like Holland. He's a fraud. Anti-rich. He has three houses on the Riviera. Like Jerry Brown. Yeah, up the rich. We're going to get the rich. How much is he worth? How much is Jerry Brown and his wife worth? Did anyone look into that yet? Hey, I'm against the rich. Obama worth $10 million. Holland has three houses on the Riviera. Another one, anti-rich. Yeah, get the rich. Yeah. Goes to Ann Getty's house to raise money 2 weeks ago with rich people. Yeah, we're out. Get the rich. Yeah. How do they get away with this? It's just unbelievable to me. How? Because people are dumbed down. I mean, they just take drugs. Medicated, I guess. Medication. Steve Jobs was a vegetarian, I heard, most of his life. Did a lot of good it did him. May he rest in peace. People don't realize. I was asked that by an interviewer the other day. How do you explain the fact that Steve Jobs, lifetime vegetarian, died of cancer? I said, well, there's no explanation, but vegetarianism has not been proven to protect your health in any way, despite what you may see. It's like a myth that if you're a vegetarian, you're going to be healthier and live longer. It hasn't been proven. In fact, I can show you a study that proves the opposite. Now, the famous study from India, the railway workers, 17,000 workers, some vegetarian, half the sample was vegetarian, the other half was not vegetarian. Vegetarians had a higher rate of higher incidence of heart attacks. Yeah, it's from the ghee. The vegetarians ate ghee. I don't like ghee. I don't even like the word ghee. I don't like ghee in an Indian restaurant. It's gooey. I don't even like dairy. Any dairy I don't like. The cow. I'm nothing against. I know dairy men don't like when I talk about that. They get mad at me. They call up like milkmen. Getting mad, people in the dairy industry. Hey, Mike, now look, I'm a conservative. I have a big herd down there in Texas, but you're really stepping on some sore points here, Mike. I'm back off that dairy thing. I live off the slaughter of those innocent animals. I know a guy who's an ex-special forces guy, one of the greatest men I ever met. My hero, doctor. The guy's everything, everything. He goes like fishing. He doesn't even want to kill fish anymore. The end of a certain point in your life, even warriors who could like parachute into areas and kill, they don't even like killing a fish at a certain point in their life. So I could see you becoming a vegetarian for moral or ethical reasons because you feel bad for the life force in that animal. But don't assume you're going to live longer. There's no guarantee altogether. The only thing that's going to keep you living longer, so as I can tell at this point in my life, is mega doses of vitamin C, vitamin E. And, well, there's other things I can't talk about. It's my business, not yours. No, I have my secrets. A lot of garlic. Anguish is good for longevity. Whoever came up with the idea that stress is bad for you? If stress were bad for you, I would have been dead at six. Everything went wrong in our life when I was very young. Everything from day one. I have not had a stress-free hour, let alone a stress-free year in my life. Who said stress is bad for you? I'll tell you what will kill you faster than stress. Trying to avoid stress. I say run into stress the way you'd run into the wind. Run into stress the way you'd run into an enemy trying to punch you in the nose. Punch stress in the nose first. That's Michael Savage. Same time, same station. Right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You have to listen to some of this rubbish, especially the first one from the Hollywood idiot, Jim Belushi. I never heard of him.
Well, you know, celebrities in general, we're pretty democratic just being in the theater. Plus, I'm from Chicago, so.
Well, there you go.
You know, I'm a
Chicago
Democrat
way.
Guy anyway. Obama's sensible. He's just reasonable. He's just a reasonable, sensible human being.
So you don't mind paying a whole bunch more tax, even though you've been really successful?
Because you, I'm looking.
Well, there's some things that you don't like. You know, you can't have everything you like. You know,
well,
but
that's why I'm
I'd
asking.
Rather pay the taxes and see people on the streets.
So, you know, Judge,
I'd rather pay the taxes and see people, you know, being educated. I'd rather pay.
Now you listen to the president saying that the Constitution had its flaws. He knows best. Dictator knows best. Tyrant knows best.
It was 225 years ago today that the Constitutional Convention opened in Philadelphia and our founders began crafting an extraordinary document. Yes, it had its flaws. No women's signature graced the original document, although we can assume that there were founding mothers whispering smarter things in the ears of the founding fathers. I think that's almost certain.
Well, I predicted this. Now listen to Bishop Harry Jackson talk about the black vote in President Obama after the gay marriage debacle. What a disaster that was.
First of all, you a Republican or a Democrat?
I'm a Democrat.
You've supported the president before? You voted for him?
I did not vote for the president.
Why not?
I was concerned about these very issues.
Well, what issue made you concerned in the year 2008?
The biggest thing was life, the abortion issue. I read his book that came out beforehand. It seemed to me from way back then that he was leaning in this direction and others. Jeremiah Wright is known to have performed commitment ceremonies for gays and lesbians a while back. So I've got some serious concerns that are biblically based as far as I'm concerned.
Do you think that people should have voted against the president on the basis of his pro-choice position?
I think at this point, with these choices, yes. And I'm concerned, a lot of people are saying they're not going to vote at all who are African-Americans, because they say, I don't feel like I can vote against the first black president. I don't like what he stands for, and I don't know that I understand where Romney is as Mormon and other things.
Now on to the news on MichaelSavage.com. As predicted, George Bush touts the Arab Spring and says the U.S. can't fear freedom. Wait a minute, what? You mean there's democracy in Germany, Hitler wins, and Bush says, don't fear freedom because the people chose Hitler? Okay, George, now we know why. Well, now we know why we have Obama. Unbelievable. It's astonishing. Astonishing how clueless these leaders are. Obama sinks in polls, even among women, according to MichaelSavage.com. And if you couldn't wait for it, here it is, a picture of George Soros in a tight bathing suit. Yesterday we were talking about male enhancement. There he is in a tight bathing suit for all the world to see his gut next to a young girl. She looks very young indeed, dark hair, nice kid. He's enjoying the sands of Miami at a secret fundraiser for Obama. Kept a closely guarded secret, but we have a picture of George Soros and all his magnificence in a tight, well, whatever. You get the picture. It's on MichaelSavage.com. Don't go there. Don't go there. You'll get sick. Top left. Have you bought Trickle-Down Tyranny yet and carried the book around like a billboard? It's the one book you need to stop Obama before we lose all of our constitutional rights. Every bookstore in America has it. What else? What else is on my website? Let's go to the bottom. Killer of Three tries not to think about the murders. Okay. Golden Gate Bridge construction. Well, you got to see what went on when they try to build this classic. Same crank said don't build it. It'll destroy the place. Chief China lobbyist Kissinger searched by TSA and released. Damn, they almost had him. Nearly half of Kansas City high school students are immigrants. Some of them never even went to school. They're wearing burkas. Isn't America great? Isn't that great? Well, it's a counterpoint to miniskirts. Think of it that way. Instead of a miniskirt, you have a burqa, where only the eyes are showing. Colorado just rejected same-sex civil unions yesterday. How do you like that? The people spoke again. Once again, Obama was wrong. Obama to graduates, don't believe the media. What? They're not good enough to him? 25-year veteran of FBI accused of trading in child porn. He specialized in counterterrorism. Isn't it nice to know that our guardians are so clean and pure? Donald J. Schachplin was charged with possessing and distributing child porn. Whoa. Where is this, California? Oh, well, sorry, Carmel. Began investigating an individual suspected of trading child pornography online September 2010. That individual who resided in Illinois was arrested in January 2012. Discovered it was trading material with several other people. Traced the alleged online activity to Sachblin's home in Carmel. He hid behind the email pedodave69 and openly traded child porn. In one email, he attached 9 images of child pornography and child erotica and wrote, "Saw your profile, hope you like these, and can send me some of yours. I have even better ones if you like. It's enough to make you sick." It's sickening. It's really sickening. Wife said she had no knowledge. She said she would stand by her man. He could face up to 20 years in prison. Currently working in the Department of Forensic Sciences at Oklahoma State U. In 08, Sachblin retired from the FBI as a special agent. Wow, 25 years at the FBI specializing in counterterrorism and bombing investigations. Who would have guessed? Never would have thought that, would you, Beowulf? No. Who would have known? I mean, they're watching us, aren't they? To keep us safe? Who knows what else they're watching during their spare time? Groundskeeper fired over finding and turning over a gun. Detroit worker told by cops he did the right thing by giving them a loaded gun found in the weeds, but then they arrested him. No, I didn't make this one up. Let's see. He finds a loaded gun, this poor guy, on the job while cleaning a lawn. And he gives it to the police. They say, good job. And then the Wayne County Department of Public Services fire him, 2 years shy of retirement. You see, he secured the gun, waited for the police to drive by so he could hand it over to them. Drove the gun home and later that same evening turned it into his local police department. Oh, my God. His superiors at the Wayne County Department of Public Service had a different opinion. He violated the rules. They said he brought the weapon to work. He said, no, I found it on the job. Could you believe the people who run this country? The dumbest people on earth. Well, if you want to get sick, I'll read the story. It's all on michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back. Wait, hang on before I go. You know that USA Today reports that nearly 20% of parents plan to take a second job to pay bills. They're doing whatever it takes to be good providers. If you want to earn money, there's a smarter way. Listen to how best-selling author and financial advisor Ray Lucia describes incomeathome.com. He says this is an amazing way to earn a significant income in your spare time. Their proven step-by-step system is the secret to starting your own cash-generating home-based internet business. They're A-plus rated and affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company doing business in over 80 countries. Visit incomeathome.com. Write it down, incomeathome.com. Incomeathome.com. Try it now.
Savage.
Our institutions has never been lower, particularly when good news doesn't get the same kind of ratings as bad news anymore. Well, every day you receive a steady stream of sensationalism and scandal and stories with a message that suggests change isn't possible.
Do you want me to talk about the gay marriage issue? Because it's not that important. And strangely enough, I have to tell you, most women in America, even conservatives, could care less about gay marriage, whether you know it or not. Of course, there is a large number that care about it because they're raising children. But most women are somehow not that captivated by this subject. I myself think that there are much more important topics, as I wrote about and I talk about in the Savage Nation every day. So I'll open it up to you. What do you want to talk about? What I said was it makes no sense to me. And I said there's only one or two reasons that Obama did this when he didn't have to. One of them was Hollywood money. Do you remember I said that on this show? Do you remember I said it? I said they said either you come out for gay marriage today or we're going to withhold money. Now, who was right? Me. I was right on the issue. So now that you know I'm right about 99.9% of the time, let's go on to topics, and you could ask me any question about anything, including lifestyle questions. The phone number is, do I have to give it to you again, 1-800-449-8255? I gave it to you. Should we talk about marriage? Or what stories are more important to you? Well, I'll give you one that I think is not related, but it's about the human body, so it's going to be very sexy. Time magazine has a cover of a woman nursing her child who's about 7 years old, the child standing on a stool. And the question is, did Time magazine's breastfeeding cover cross the line? So it's some woman, some crazy woman, a crazy woman in my opinion, a 26-year-old crazy woman who is so narcissistic that she appears in skinny jeans, muscled bare arms, and she's breastfeeding her son under the headline, "Are you mom enough?" Now, the son is not an infant. The son is a young child. And she's saying that breastfeeding is not just about nutrition. It's about nurturing. Now, of course, you know Time magazine was sold for a dollar. And so, therefore, that's about what it's worth nationally. But it's an interesting topic because women today, unfortunately, are so narcissistic that they will, in some cases, do things that you could never believe women were capable of. And so here's a mother, takes her son, puts the kid on a chair. I don't know how old he is, 4, 5, 6. Puts him on a chair, has a breast out, and she's displaying herself for the world to see as she breastfeeds the child. You know it's not about the child. You know she's using her body and her child as a weapon to peddle herself. And the question is, to you, and it's a crazy question because I'm a former, you know, I have a master's in anthropology before my PhD, and I've studied this issue. There are cultural variations on how long women breastfeed children. You know that, don't you? Cultural variations. Like, you can tell which men were never breastfed by how they behave. Then you could tell how some men behave that they were breastfed too late, too long in life. If you want me to do it on a political level, you ask me the politician's name and I'll tell you whether they were breastfed enough or too much. I won't do that. But no, but I could tell you by their behavior whether they're basically starving for mommy or they had too much mommy. So here's a real-life mom nursing her child on the cover of the failed Time magazine. And the question is, what's the question to you? How long did you breastfeed your child? Did Time go too far with breastfeeding cover image? I mean, what's the question? Who knows? I guess I'm trying to stay close to the body questions, since you really don't want to talk about major things like Obama destroying the military, wrecking NASA, destroying our moon program, our diminishment in the world, the wreckage in the Middle East, allowing China to open a bank in America for the first time, the Chinese Communist government. You don't want to talk about that. Apparently, it's about body parts, male and female. It's the only thing that matters in the American mind. 1-800-449-8255. So I went to the Indian lunch again today out of default. It reached a point. While you're calling, I'm going to give you a short story. I go in the buffet. Normally, it's a quiet place. It's off a highway, okay? Nice people. No one bothers you. I walk in, I get my plate, and there's a table of four I don't know how to describe them. All very, very gray-haired oldsters, a little older than me, but all gray and old. And they're loud, so loud it's shocking, and they're putting down Israel. Just, did you know the New York Times wrote in 1967 the Israelis went in and used gas on the Palestinians? I couldn't believe what I was listening to. Now, it was not a private conversation in that she was screaming so that everyone had to listen to her. I know this type of troublemaking liberal. I've seen them all over the Bay Area my whole life. They look like they're nice people, but they're the type that brought Hitler to power. They look like they're nice people, but they're fascists in their heart. They look like nice old people, but they're the most troublemaking people in society. They're usually members of the League of Women Voters. They're far-left radicals. They supported Barbara Boxer. They look at the other way when Barbara Boxer scandals emerge on the land redevelopment schemes that her and her family's been involved in. They've looked the other way on Obama's scandals. And what do they attack? Who do they attack? Not Muslims cutting people's heads off. Not Muslims killing homosexuals. But how bad the Israelis were. So I listened to it and my blood started to boil. And I said, look, I'm a public figure. I really shouldn't say anything. But she was louder. Now, these are very old people. But she's screaming and bothering everyone in the restaurant. So I looked at them and I said, I'm a Zionist and you can all go to hell. And I walk into the next room and sit down and I eat my chicken and curry. And my blood starts to boil. I'm about finishing my meal when a young man walks in kind of trepidatiously. And he says, Michael Savage? I said, yes. He said, I've been listening to you for years. I said, good for you. Thank you for your listenership. And he says, you know, I was listening to what went on there. Don't you believe in free speech? I said, I certainly do. I live by it. He said, well, they were just exercising their free speech. I said, that's right, but so am I by expressing my opinion to them. He said, well, don't you think there's room in our society for several different opinions? I said, absolutely. But when I go to a restaurant, if I express any political opinions at all, they're sort of whispered. I don't inflict them on people. I said, this is not a radio station that someone can turn off. There were other people around them trying to eat. And I was one of the other people offended by them, so I reacted. And one word leads to the other, and he says to me, my name is Mustafa Habatashima, like a Muslim name. I said, well, that's very interesting. I said to him, I said, you know what's interesting, I said, is that most Muslims who listen to my show agree with me on social issues. He says, are you saying to me I'm a Muslim? I said, no. I said, most people who listen to my show who are Muslim disagree with me on the Middle East and agree with me on social issues because we think the same way. Well, it ended on that note. But the point is, wherever you are, you must speak out. If you hear someone lying, if you hear someone defacing America, if you hear someone defaming America, then you got to get up and tell them you're offended, and you'll change America, whether it's on a supermarket line, a restaurant, a PTA meeting, it doesn't matter where. Don't let these, quote, nice liberals roll you over like a steamroller, because they do it every time.
Savage.
The Obama administration has brought Chicago-style politics to our nation's capital. You see, during the 08 Obama campaign for the White House, the campaign illegally received a check from the city of Chicago and did not disclose it to the Federal Elections Commission. Right now on the Savage Nation, to talk about this disturbing story, this violation of the law, is Adam Angievsky, founder of For the Good of Illinois and OpenTheBooks.com. Adam, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you. Great to be back on your program. The last name, Michael, is actually Angievsky.
So let's hear the background on this horrible campaign finance scandal.
Well, yesterday, our transparency portal at OpenTheBooks.com, it's a portal that I founded, and we last fall posted the pay and pensions of every single public employee in the entire state of Illinois, and that set a national precedence of transparency. And yesterday, we upgraded that portal by putting the checkbook of the city of Chicago since 2002, so the last 10 years of the city of Chicago vendor spending, $74 billion worth of that spending, 3.3 million lines of checks, and we put that up at OpenTheBooks.com. And I searched through that data, and I found some pretty stunning things. We found 16 checks that went to the most prominent strip club in the city, so city checks that were approved with city PO numbers, vendor numbers, and departments that were paid to the strip club. And then we found something very, very interesting. A $1,000 check cut on August 28th of 2007 to the Obama for America campaign fund. Now, the campaign check and the vendor checks to the strip club share the same vendor code in the city accounting system.
How'd you come across this?
We like to tease the new information on the portal, and we have a subscriber email list of 60,000 email subscribers. So we like to get some good headlines on that. And so I was, as soon as that data went live, I searched through that data, and immediately I came upon that suspect spending. So it's very interesting. We've got tremendous data on this. The city of Chicago gave us the entire checkbook for the last 10 years. So we have actually the vendor code, the transaction ID, the purchase order number, the fund, the department number, the amount of the check, obviously the check number, and the date on the check. And so what I did immediately is I filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the city of Chicago, wanting to know the purpose and an explanation behind the check. Why was the city of Chicago cutting a $1,000 check to Barack Obama's campaign fund for president?
Well, have you gotten a response from the Obama campaign or the city of Chicago?
Well, we've gotten tremendous response from all over the country from the media that are showcasing the story, both in Illinois and national interest from Washington, D.C., and obviously on your program, Michael. We're privileged to be on the program to showcase this piece. To my knowledge, a reporter has not asked the Obama campaign for a response.
What else did you find in your research?
Well, on the transparency portal, a week ago, we posted all the vendor spending of every single school district in the entire state of Illinois. And what we found when we posted that was $50 million worth of taxi cab rides from a small handful of school districts within a small universe of vendors in a small geographic corner of the state. And that was a pretty stunning story. When we dug a little harder on that, we found that 80% of those taxi cab rides since 2006 were reimbursed by federal and state taxpayers. So, Michael, people in your listening audience, you helped pay for taxi cab rides for Illinois school kids.
Where can we find out more about what you do?
Well, people can search all the Illinois spending at openthebooks.com. And what our goal and objective is that nearly every single dime of public spending eventually, whether it's at the local level, the school districts, the state, the city of Chicago, will be posted online at openthebooks.com.
Is there anything my audience, the Savage Nation, can do about this?
Well, in every single state, if there are activists out there that want to open the books in your state, please reach out to us through the portal at openthebooks.com, because we can help open the books in your state to bring the sunlight and transparency and to create the stories of outrage that can help win elections at the ballot box. This needs to be done in every state and at the federal level, and we're on the leading edge of doing just that.
Well, how is what you're doing really going to help? Are they going to listen to you?
Well, for instance, I think it's going to put a lot of heat on the Barack Obama campaign. We found that on the federal election website that the Obama campaign had not disclosed the city of Chicago check. We looked on the transparency portal for the city of Chicago, which is a transparency portal for the vendors and payments, and the Obama campaign and the strip club were not disclosed, nowhere to be found on the payment list, the reimbursement list, or the vendor list of the city of Chicago. So the city officials have a lot of explaining to do, and they need to do that. They need to give the taxpayers answers. And, of course, the Barack Obama campaign needs to answer the question, what was the check for, and why was it never disclosed?
Adam, I really admire you, and thanks for joining us today in the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, great to be on your radio program. Your listening audience can find out more. They can actually come to our transparency portal at openthebooks.com. And they can see me at our website at forthegoodofillinoispac.com.
Now we're going to go back to, by the way, the book is Train Tracks, which will be out in December from the same publisher, Harper's, who published Trickle Down Tyranny. But this is such a different book. It's all of my childhood stories, going back to Dead Man's Pants, et cetera. But maybe 60 pages of new stories you never heard. Never heard them on radio, never heard them anywhere. And, of course, the radio stories came directly from my life. They're not radio stories at all. They're life stories, as told on the radio, but they're all news stories, Train Tracks for Christmas. You want to hear something funny about it? My picture's not on the book cover because, well, I'll tell you when Christmas comes. I don't want to get ahead of myself. 1-800-449-8255, Allentown, Pennsylvania. Brandon, welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Great to talk to you.
Well, we're waiting. Go ahead.
Hello. Yes, I've heard you say before, and I wanted to talk to you. About, I heard you say that Martin Luther King was quoted as saying, if you're anti-Zionist, you're anti-Semitic?
That is a direct quote. He said, make no mistake about it. If you're anti-Zionist, you're anti-Semitic. That's Martin Luther King Jr., not Michael Savage.
But I believe that that's a belief that you and many others hold. And I read your book, excellent book, one of the best books I've read in a long time. But, I have to disagree with that, and I think that's one of the many problems that America is facing today is that, you know, we think that there's no other...
So in other words, everyone's entitled to a homeland but the Jews, is that right?
No, they're entitled to a homeland, but why does it have to be a homeland that has been settled by someone since, you know, the 10th or 11th century?
Well, right. And how long have the Jews been in the Middle East?
Well, they haven't had a state there since, the Romans kicked them out,
So there you go. So justice has been done. The Romans kicked them out of their homeland, and the United Nations in 1947 put them back into their homeland. What's wrong with that? It's justice.
We kicked the Native Americans out of their homeland,
So why don't you give your home to a Native American?
Because I don't believe that's right, just like I don't believe it's right to,
Wait a minute. You just said the Jews should give their homes to the Palestinians. So why don't you give your home to the Native Americans? Go and look for one and give them your house.
No. What I'm saying is that, Palestinians have had their homes there since before the Jewish time, and then in 1948...
Well, now wait. Now you're saying there were no Jews there in 1947? Is that what you're saying? You're wrong.
They began settling there, and they began.
Boy, sir, you don't know your history. You're just reading something from the University of Anti-Semitism.
No, I'm not.
There's been a direct Jewish presence in the Middle East going back to biblical times. That's a fact of history that any educated person will confirm, even Palestinians who have a university education and know the truth. So how can you deny Jews have been there since biblical times? They have been.
You're right. They have been, but they.
All right. So now let's talk about the Jews kicked out of the Arab Crescent when Israel was formed. How about the lands, the businesses that were seized by the Arabs in Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, and other areas in North Africa? They were thrown out and all of their possessions stolen by the Arabs. Should they have their possessions restored by the United Nations for that act?
Absolutely.
Oh, well, then we have nothing to argue about. Thanks for calling. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It was 225 years ago today that the Constitutional Convention opened in Philadelphia and our founders began crafting an extraordinary document. Yes, it had its flaws. No women's signature graced the original document, although we can assume that there were founding mothers whispering smarter things in the ears of the founding fathers. I think that's almost certain.
Well, it's an interesting topic. I mean, everybody has an opinion on breastfeeding, and the fact of the matter is, virtually everyone listening to the show was either breastfed or not breastfed. I think we can make that a definitive statement. I don't care who you are. I can definitely categorize you into one of two categories. Either you were breastfed or not breastfed, right or wrong? Yes, okay, so I'm right again. So therefore, everybody listening to the show is interested in the topic of breastfeeding and how long it should go on, because Time Magazine has hit a new low using a mother who is engaging, in my opinion, in child endangerment, child pornography, by posing with it looks like a child, 5, 6, her child, incidentally, his face is showing, to display herself as Miss Sexy with the child's face showing. And we're now, asking the question. I said, well, it'll sell Time magazines. So what's next? Should they put snuff films inside the magazine? Is that okay to sell a magazine? Putting a little, you press this button or whatever, insert this in your computer, you can watch someone being killed. Is that what Time will revert to next? All for the bottom line. I mean, where does it end? Remember I said to you the sewer pipe coming out of Hollywood has polluted the world? Well, now you have proof positive in every way from whether it be the violence in the film, in movies, the pornography in the movies, the anti-American, anti-familyism, in the movies, the glorification of crimes in the movies. I have to go on and on about it. I love movies, right? But it's the sewer pipe of Hollywood, which is why I am on the blacklist in Los Angeles. Why I am blacklisted in many countries is because the forces in Hollywood, like Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, Spielberg, and Disgustingberg, are so powerful that they control most of the media in the entire world. Not just movies. Guys like Katzenberg are more powerful than an ancient Caesar, or so they would like to believe. And they hate me. I know it from an inside source, that they have conspired to destroy me for years now. That's how vicious they are. Make no mistake about it. They are more vicious than any right-winger you've ever met. because they are the true right-wingers because they're so wrong. This is the Savage Nation. We're talking about women, breastfeeding. 1-800-449-8255, Albany, New York. Scott, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, God bless you. Thank you for taking my call. You as usual, you've hit the nail on the head. This is debasement of humanity in order to sell magazines just like Hollywood. And I knew one of these people. This woman breastfed her son until he was well into 4 years old. And this person was a clueless liberal and probably the best example of the misguided attitude that this person had that I'm sure you can relate to, is that they also had a large dog. And when this dog was out of control, leaping and nipping people, this woman would wrap her arms around it and shove shredded cheese in its face in order to calm it down. She was encouraging exactly the behavior.
Yes, she was she was using a Pavlovian response to encourage it to attack.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and she thought she was doing the opposite. So here's a woman who you say breastfed a child till he was, four or five. How did the child turn out? You said, I didn't quite catch that.
We couldn't continue to maintain a relationship with them. They seemed to be doing okay. If anything, it was because the dad, he was a more balanced individual. But
how long ago was this, would you say? How many years ago?
This had to be 16 years ago.
Okay, so the child's 20, probably working for Al Gore now.
Oh, possibly.
Well, no, a child like that is constantly needing to be reinforced by mother's milk. And Al Gore puts out the propaganda in the form of fake mother's milk. He puts out the poison mother's milk to the child's mind about global warming and inconvenient truth. One of the most fallacious propaganda films ever made. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Breastfeeding. Stay on the line. No, it's Trickle Down Tyranny. Come on, you know what it is. I'm just kidding. Pennsylvania, Brenda, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I just want to tell you, I think it's terrible. I think it's pornography, and it scares me the way the media and the movies have slowly but slowly made us less aware of these things that are bad.
Yeah. Well, that's because upstanding citizens like Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, Hatzenberg, and Spielberg make the images that are polluting the world's mind. Why do you think the radical Islamists are rioting against America? It's not solely because of our Middle East policy. I have said it over and over again. It's because of the pollution coming out of Hollywood. I happen to be right. Nobody will agree with me because they're so afraid of Katzenberg and all of the rest of them. They have turned the Muslim world upside down because of the pollution that the Muslim men do not want penetrating their homes and polluting their daughters' minds. How do you like that?
I like it.
No, but how many people would agree with me, though? People won't agree with me. Even conservatives shy away from agreeing with me on this. The vile filth that comes out of the minds of the lowest minds in the history of mankind in Hollywood have penetrated the world. So if you were a traditional guy in the third world from another century and you live by a different set of mores, would you want that kind of imagery portrayed in your home in a television set or send your child to a movie theater? Of course not. It's the same in this country. Religious people don't go to the movies. They don't have television sets in their house. Religious Jews do not have televisions in their house precisely because of this. They don't go to the movies precisely because of this. And frankly, religious Muslims don't, because they don't want this imagery penetrating their minds. So now you have a setup like Time magazine under the guise of a story about breastfeeding. What they're doing is showing child pornography.
I agree.
You get a free copy of Trickle Down What?
Tyranny.
Yes, thank God she didn't say breastfeeding. Okay. So have we exhausted this topic or not? Or you want to go on to something else? Tyler, Texas. Billy, go ahead, please. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Maybe you should be all feeding them almond milk.
No. Well, almond milk is wonderful, but it doesn't have sufficient protein for the baby nor any colostrum. So what is it you have a question about? I guess it's about almond milk.
Well, it was just that I've enjoyed your talking about the almond and lima beans and things, and I want to learn more.
Okay, well, hey, I'll tell it shortly. Lima beans, almonds, apple seeds, and other foods are extremely healthful. They're no longer really eaten by many Americans, certainly not lima beans. They used to be almost a staple in the American diet. However, these foods all contain minute amounts of HCN, hydrocyanic acid, which, when ingested, will be certainly taken up by the cells. And cancer cells need more oxygen than the average cell. And so when the cancer cells are starved with small or minute amounts of HCN instead of oxygen, they die off more quickly. That is the theory. And it tends to support why these particular foods were held in such high esteem in more distant times in America.
Right. I've heard you talk about
it. Let's put it this way. There's nothing harmful about lima beans, almonds, and apple seeds. It's just that they're no longer in the American diet to any extent.
Well, they need to be removed or put back.
I think they should be restored because we're eating too high on the hog. Thank you very much for the call. Forgot to give the man a gift, but I will do so every other caller. How's that? Portland, Oregon, where the ore has been gone a very long time. Chris, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, some months ago you mentioned you were writing a book on trains, and you and I are the same age, and I happen to still have my American Flyer train set. It has the stockyard and the log dumping car.
How much do you want for it?
Well, no, what I thought, Michael, is I live in Oregon, like you just said, and I could either mail it to you or bring it to you so you could use it to take pictures in your book or might even refresh
it. Oh, that's very cute. You know, but it's too much of a risk of damaging. That's a great set. I remember I had an American Flyer set, three tracks, right?
Mine's two tracks.
Oh, are you HO gauge?
I thought the Lionel's had three. No, mine's a two-tracker.
My American Flyer was a three-er. Well, I appreciate the offer, but I'm unable to accept it, so I'm just going to send you a gift of my book.